Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear me? Coming through loud and clear from all the way over here in the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Big ups to all our listeners in the US, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand, and anybody else that can speak English that seems to be scattered about the earth at some place. In fact, it'd be very interesting if somebody would do some kind of translation of the show. I wonder how some of the jokes would go over. Probably terrible, except if they were done in French.
Absolutely, this scumbaggery. Oh, 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 oh. It's not a jackhammer, it's a jackhammer. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Real bad jokes like that. Like I'm Family. That's where I got that from. Now, anyway, no guest today. We have a free flow show, as we do, and the caller lines are now open. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Now, one of the listeners had emailed me in asking about smart meters in New Zealand, knowing that I've had maybe three or four people, I think, from overseas in the northern hemisphere talking about smart meters in their particular areas, whether that be the United States or Canada or elsewhere, all saying the exact same thing, that smart meters are psychotronic weapons and bad for your health, at the very least, not good for your sleep, violate all your privacy, bathe you in radiation. There's a whole nest of bad stuff, nothing good. Unless, of course, you're a criminal eugenicist, sociopath, slime bag, in which case the people who are pushing the smart meters are. So, when you think about it, if you don't know exactly what's going down in your neck of the woods with smart meters, just have a look at what's going on elsewhere. It'll be exactly carbon copy. Guaranteed. Okay, what's happening in the other company? Oh, wait, they're employing private contractors to do this, aren't they? With government mandate. Okay. Same thing happening here in New Zealand. Oh, are they just kind of sending you an email the day that they install it and don't give you any notice so that by the time you arrive home to your fence post by from the office or something like that, you've got a smart meter? Yeah, same thing's happening here in New Zealand. That's why it's a global conspiracy. I would have thought it would be pretty straightforward because, everything's the same everywhere. There's no possibility that things could all occur in the exact same way everywhere unless there was a connection. Unless there was some form of random chance incident that is in the prospect of trillions, billions to one. So many people live in denial, and it's a hilarious thing. Whenever you talk about anything, and it doesn't matter what it is, as long as the subject content is real. You want to talk about anything with anybody. Anybody you don't know what their particular flavor is. You haven't a clue how they're going to react to the things that you're going to say. And sometimes you haven't a clue how you're going to react to the things they're going to say either. You fly off the handle, get angry, aggressive. Sure, happens all the time. Happens to everybody. But what I find funny is when the person hasn't actually done anything to you and you run up to them angry. A lot of people do this. Run up to a scumbag, somebody who they perceive to be a scumbag, who they know actually very little about. They just heard at one point on somebody's radio show that this person was a scumbag and runs out there and starts yelling and abuses them and what have you. Now, while that's all good and fun and everybody loves to see those videos, like the one where David Rockefeller was ambushed coming out of, I think it was an airport in Chile, with a truther screaming at him, "Leave Chile, you're a murdering, killing, sociopathic scumbag." You know, great, because it was David Rockefeller. And on the other hand, you think about, say, Benjamin Fulford or whatever, who sat down and talked with him for a few minutes and something of that nature. Two radically different scenarios where you get two different effects, because in the other video, what did David Rockefeller say while being screamed at, leave Chile, you're a scumbag? Nothing. Okay? So the intent of antagonistic behavior, while I engage in it myself, of course, is to strike an entertainment value, or everybody just going, yeah, woohoo, mofo. That's basically what we're talking about here. You got the choice. Do you want some information out of this person? Do you want to be able to expose them? Do you want to ask some poignant questions? Or do you just want to yell some abuse at them and have a laugh? It depends on the situation. For example, if you're driving past a scumbag on the side of the street or something, and you lean out the window with a megaphone as you're driving past and go, you're a scumbag! Now, that's funny. That's funny, man. Okay. Now, I think what people forget about protesting and all of that kind of stuff is it can always be quite fun. Quite fun. Especially if you make it so. But always, if you're trying to have a few laughs, it doesn't matter if you've got a megaphone or anything like that. If you're just trying to have some fun, like I do, you get people who get angry at you. So you go, if they can focus on the issues, etc. It's all serious, serious, serious for them. And you'll find out that they've got no friends. And there's the biggest group of people they've been around for a very long time. See, it's the thing. If you close yourself off from humour, you start closing yourself off to other people. Because you forget to see the comedy in everything. And I see comedy in everything. Or at least I try to. I do my dangdest, because you've actually got to start seeking out things that are funny and enjoying and amusing in these times. Because, after all, the stuff that's going to tick you off and make you very, very unhappy is abundant. The things that are going to make you jump for joy and feel satisfied with your life are an extremely scarce resource that have basically been purged from the surface of the earth outside of your grasp. And it's an incredibly frustrating feeling when you realize that, oh my God, I've got to go get a job, I've got to pay this bill, I've got to pay that bill, I have to pay for this insurance, I have to pay that. Blah, 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 blah. It's like you've been plugged into a machine that has a cord that plugs into a singular muscle group in every single part of your body and consistently drains you of all your energy, all your strength, and all your concern for the world. And focuses simply on that pain of not being able to grow and being sapped by the cost of simply breathing. That's what I have a problem with in society. And we do not have an economy that allows people who are young with entrepreneurial spirit to get stuff done without huge amounts of support. Everything's too expensive to make a go of it on your own now. Nobody can really get a job that pays for absolutely everything straight out of high school or anything like that. And it largely comes down to so many different factors, most of which don't benefit people. For example, some people will claim that university will give you $1 million more than somebody who doesn't go to university. Well, dig this. There's been plenty of people who've gone to university and plenty of people who've come out of university and make a lot of money who didn't use a single thing that they learned at university in order to get where they're going. I think we have a caller here, Darren Williams. Welcome to the show, bro.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. How are you, Mr. Eastwood?
I'm somewhat fabulous, man.
That is great to hear. That is great to hear. I have some very strange goings on in the UK with the Olympic hype Masonic fest that we will unfortunately get given to us because we paid for it on the 27th of July. But before that, I've got a very, very special announcement from a mutual friend of ours, Ian R. Crane. He is holding an emergency meeting on Wednesday the 25th of July in the Holiday Inn in Camden Town with a man who used to work for G4S. I don't know if you're aware of that controversy, a very controversial company. They were the private contractors in charge of the Olympic Stadium security. and he blew the whistle about 2 weeks ago, and it basically led to the whole story getting exposed within the UK mass media, and the chief executive of G4S, the man in charge of the Olympic security, having to go to the House of Commons today and explain why he basically was running an absolute mess. So,
and what I love is that he still wants to be paid the $57 million for such a balls up.
Exactly. That's the psychopathic nature of these individuals. They can't even see what they do is wrong when it's proven what they're doing is wrong. So basically, Ian R. Crane and the whistleblower, they are having this meeting on Wednesday the 25th of July in London, in the Holiday Inn at Camden Town, and it is only £10 a ticket. So if you are listening to this and you want to go, if you're in the UK, or if you know anybody in the London area that is into this, or maybe you could surprise them and just say... maybe Bruce Springsteen is giving a special secret concert. Just slip it on them and see if it opens some minds, see if that pineal gland starts opening up and things start occurring. So that's my little shout for Ian, because he's been a major help in myself waking up to this insanity. And I just want to give something back to him. Also, if people don't know, I have a blog on a Liverpool music electronic dance site. Long story short, people were going to my friend Jimmy, who was also known as General Jimmy, not because he was in the military, because he's so dictatorial in organising things. He's quite a determined fella. And they were asking him about Lady Gaga and Kanye West and the usual Illuminati cabal. And he came to me, said, write me one article about it. I said, I can do one better. I'll write you one a month. So it really has gone well in Liverpool. I've been stopped about 5 times by people who I've never met before who said, are you Darren? And I'm like, yeah. And they say, we read your blog. It's really good. So the latest one is about a very condensed guide to the occult nature of the London Games. Now, people might say, well, what do you mean?
I was just thinking there, like, every time I see that logo, I see Zion, and the logo's everywhere, so I'm watching the news, and it's Zion, 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 Zion. It's unbelievable, man. It's everywhere. Because and the funny thing is, you really can't argue that it's not Zion, because there's that little extra chunky bit in the middle there that is not part of the numerals 2012. It's only part of an I.
Exactly. The other thing as well is, if you want to have just a short, sharp killer point, a really ace up your sleeve, they've made a bell that they will ring for the opening ceremony. That's the largest bell ever made. It has been harmonically tuned, whatever that means. And it's got the words inscribed from a line from The Tempest by Shakespeare. Now, the character that says that line is the love child of his mother, who is a dark witch, and his father, that happens to be Satan. And the word cannibal derives from this character's name. So if there's anybody out there that wants to freak people out, that's the ace up the sleeve right there. They're not doing Romeo, they're not doing Juliet, they're not doing Malvolio, they are not doing The Merchant of Venice. They are going for it. So I advise people, I wouldn't watch it. I think the whole ceremony is about changing people's DNA. I think what's occurring, we are at a point in our time at the moment where our DNA, where our knowledge, our pineal gland, whatever it is changing. This is why Google are investing in research into studying DNA, which is very worrying. So I think this whole ceremony, the use of the bell, they're also ringing it 9 times.
Hold on a second. I've started to think of Google as kind of like the Borg. You know, they just kind of take over and consume anything and just make it part of their collective database.
Of course, and the other weird thing is they were doing a data mine sweeping all over the world, and not one executive, not even the driver of them Google map cars has been arrested. And they've just admitted it. They've just said, yeah, by a mistake, we could have an EMP-type sponge that could intercept people's phone calls, text messages, what they were listening to on their mobile stroke MP3 phones. And not one executive from Google has been arrested anywhere in the world for that. Yet you or me do that, we will be done. So, you know, Google is a very sinister organisation, and
we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes. Thank you, Darren, for your call, bro. If you want to stay on, maybe we can. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be right back, folks. That's all about planting shells and then pouring crap over them. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny, slaved South Pacific, where everybody has a Fukushima-irradiated part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. A very special guest is still Darren Williams, and we're going to talk about switching from the 2012 London Olympic Games.
Oh, I have to give you just something about that, just quickly.
Of course,
if people want to see some rather disturbing, possibly Masonic, with sexual overtones, public street art that is in Liverpool surrounding the London 2012 Olympic Games, you can look at it on my Twitter, which is at Daz, D-A-Z, Alt, Fairy, all one word, Daz, Alt, Fairy. And I put that up this morning about 8 hours ago. And you can be really disturbed. It involves a woman in a compromising position and a pyramid, of all things. So it really is. This London thing is really very spooky. I would advise anybody, even in the conspiracy field, I'm not watching the opening ceremony. I know it will be full of type of imagery and things we can talk about and discuss on the Vinny Eastwood Show and me doing my blog, but I am not going to give it my energy live. I might watch it on YouTube, but I am not giving it my energy live, people, because I think they are bringing something. I don't know what it is. And all I know is Satanists, they also ring a bell 9 times before the start of any ceremony. So this is a big, big deal. This ain't no game. So I would just enjoy it with some friends. I'm going to listen to some Marvin Gaye. I'm not having the internet. I'm not having the TV. It's just me and Marvin Gaye and on CD. And that's it when the 27th of July hits. So that's at Daz Old Fairy, people.
Yeah. I mean, this is the ideal show where you can talk about the at Daz Old Fairy and women in compromising positions accompanied by Marvin Gaye. So, yeah. Now, on to Kim.com. The dude... is actually in the top 100 most trusted New Zealanders, according to a recent magazine survey. And this is after a rather revealing interview, allegedly, with John Campbell, who me and Will, former co-host, have ambushed in the streets. And it seems as much like this. Kim.com was threatening the entire music basic record industry because he was offering the artist not only a more viable platform, but also a much bigger cut of the sales on their records and things of that nature, and was actually preparing to, well, more or less, take over a lot of the music production and producing business. People like the Black Eyed Peas had come over to him and things like that, preferring to do all their stuff online rather than give a record company like 98% of the profits. Okay, and soon enough, okay, this one dude in a big mansion has something like, what, 70, 80 police, New Zealand police, under the directorship of the FBI, okay, which has no jurisdiction in New Zealand, to my knowledge, raid his house. Now, if they had just buzzed him at security, like just one guy in a police car turns up, buzzed him at security and said, hey, bro, we need to call you into the office for questioning, he would have come down. But that wasn't the reason for this raid, in my opinion. The raid wasn't intended just to capture him. It was to send a message, man. Who else wants to now attempt to post video and all of that sort of stuff and threaten the big record companies now?
There's another angle to it, if I can interject.
Oh, I assume there is.
If anybody wants to go on YouTube, there's a very interesting mega upload promo that has a number of celebrities on it. The majority of these celebrities are African-American. And some of them are even athletes, such as Serena Williams and Floyd Mayweather. And what I suspect, or what my alternative theory on that mega upload whole issue is that the African-American artists or celebrities, they were using Kim.com as a frontman to actually get power for their endeavours that are mainly owned by white people and white elite people. If anybody wants to look at who owns the major entertainment youth-orientated outlets, they're generally run by old white, old money men. So I think that...
Well, in that case, I think the... but in that case, I think the discrimination shouldn't be the white people or anything like that. It should be the billionaires, because, let's face it, if you're going to have a look at white people or black people or anything like that, there's one people who are a cut above everybody else, who have a radically different ability to control the course of daily events for other people, and that's billionaires.
Of course, but the other issue is, by them people being on that promo, they were engaging in illegal activity, but none of them have been arrested. And from what I have read and seen on sites such as Worldstar Hip Hop, is they've been basically given an ultimatum, so to speak. Either stay in line or you'll get a visit from the SWAT team. So it was very, very interesting. It's very interesting how really there hasn't been a record label or an entertainment label since Motown that has been solely owned by African-Americans for African-American artists. So that's a very interesting thing. Then the other thing with Kim.com was he had a arsenal in his mansion. So for somebody that is just doing what he's doing, why would he have that type of weaponry in his home? So it's interesting...
I would think for the same reason why millions of New Zealanders and Americans and all the other people do, protection. Because if somebody's coming through your front door or something like that, what would you rather reach for, the telephone or a gun?
Well, according to, and even he's admitted, but according to the reports, he had an armoury that would embarrass Sarah Connor out of Terminator 2 in the Mexican desert. So he was expecting something, but when you play high stakes, you've got to expect consequences.
Was it illegal firearms?
No, it was all legit, but it was a pretty tasty arsenal of stuff he had, you know what I mean? I think he was expecting the T-101, but still, if you're involved in taking on these types of people and you are being so blatant and you're doing YouTube videos and whatever, I guess it's high stakes, and ultimately, the good thing is he's still alive, and that is a good thing that they didn't just take him out like they, let's say, took Kennedy or other people out. So
I would suspect that's a good thing. That's why he also had a panic room, because there'd be two types of people who'd be coming after you. One would be the law, who follow the rules, and the other ones would be the intel guys and the private corporate contractors and things like that, who don't really follow any rules or anything, or private mercenaries or something like that, involved in taking a hit on you. So I think you'd make a decision pretty quickly if you saw blue uniforms coming at you or black ski masks, which you'd reach for.
Yeah, but then the uniforms also nowadays sadly wear black ski masks, so yeah, it's hard to distinguish.
Yeah, I know, but they also have, you know, bright yellow crap all over them and stuff like that, and clearly identify themselves as police. If somebody, on the other hand, is just wearing a military get-up with no markings or anything like that and virtually can't be seen in the black of night, and it has, like, a sniper scope with a green beam, like, pointing at your forehead sort of thing as he's tossing a grenade at you with a minigun on the truck behind him and stuff like that out of a Chevy Suburban, and it's shooting up the entire front of your house in broad daylight, you know, whatever. That's kind of it's sort of a dead giveaway. But in any other case, that's just basically getting a bit fanciful about it. And we're all just theorizing, aren't we? Because we don't really have any idea exactly what's going on. But we do know some people who had parts to play. Like, for example, John Banks, the former mayor of Auckland City, who received enormous donations from Kim.com. And Auckland City on New Year's Eve, a couple of years back, I think it was, and this was one of the very few New Year's when I was actually in town for it. And Kim.com gave us $100,000 worth of fireworks, bro. And they were mean. And
so will there be a meeting of the minds between Vin Eastwood and Kim.com in a future exclusive? Is that possible?
Well, I've invited them a number of times, and I've tried to message their T-shirt people. I guess it might be kind of like in the situation that I'm in sort of thing, where you've got so many people vying from your attention, some through Skype, some through Facebook, some ringing you, some leaving you messages, emailing, etc., etc. There's all these different channels of communication that are open. It's like somebody in one of those old cartoons where he's got 14 phones in front of him and they're all ringing and he's trying to pick them all up at the same time and have the conversations, and it's just not working.
Well, you could always mention me. I think he's actually a follower on my blog. So I think just mention me, and you never know. Not me being big-headed, but you know what I mean? See where that gets another strange synchronicity. So you never know. Just say, I know that guy Darren from Liverpool. Just you never know. So just give it a try and see where that takes you. But so that's good. I've just got something on Twitter. They said I need to plug the blog. It's on General Jimmy, all one word, generaljimmy.com, or you can do an internet search for Darren's Alternative Theory. I will be doing regular updates around the Olympics, because Tony Blair has suddenly made his mum ra from the pit of hell comeback in UK politics last week. So that means something might be going down. We might have an emergency prime minister, because the former one's been took by the aliens. So
we're straight out of Mars Attacks, bro.
Well, that's how it's going. So I will be looking at that. I will be looking at things going on in Liverpool, and just keep it there. And you can enjoy, if you're in America, or if you're in New Zealand, you can enjoy in a quite sick way, a twisted way, my possible breakdown, of my country going to hell.
I enjoyed the Sick and Twisted. All right, Darren, well, thank you very much for your call, bro.
Thank you. Be good. Yeah. Daz Olfieri on the Twitter, say hello, and let's take it to these horrid people.
Mm-mm-mm. You know what's funny, Darren? Is as soon as people start actually going out there and getting to it and actually wanting to do something, they get a lot of stuff done. Instead of going, oh, well, I'm just going to wonder where I can find the time to do this and everything like that. Instead of just worrying about it and thinking about it, you just do it and it gets done and then you get benefits out of it, right?
So stop thinking like a slave. Stop thinking like a slave. You know, if you want some inspiration when you're down, just watch Gladiator. That's what I do. I just put it on the DVD, watch it, and that is just inspiration. That's how you've got to be. You've got to be like the Spaniard. And you've just got to take it to the man in your own way, not through violence. I'm just using that as a metaphoric way, but you have to have your humanity, you have to have your defiance, and you have to believe in yourself and why you are here. We are here for a reason at this time. You are listening to me for a reason. Vinny is here for a reason, and it is momentous. As well as confusing and scary, it is historic and momentous occasions. It's not 1961 where maybe everything was a bit whatever, and it was black and white TV. This is, we're living in full HD, people, and this is what it's about, and you've just got to get it and grasp it and tame the wild horse.
Darren, all right, two things, bro. The word H, it's pronounced H. In fact, I think I want to try and get that kind of pronunciation struck off with some anti-H speech laws. And and secondly, what I also wanted to do was thanks very much for continuing to, you know, pay attention to me and listen to the show and come on from time to time and participate, because it's actually really hard to keep touch with a lot of people because everybody's sort of contacting me sort of thing. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just kind of fielding here like the little Shiva in the middle of the earth with like the many arms twisting all the knobs and levers and communicating all over the place. You know, it's quite fun, but it's difficult, and it makes it a lot easier if people actually follow me rather than me following them. So thank you very much, Darren, for calling in, bro.
No worries. And what's your Twitter, Vinny, just so people who are new to the show know you're on Twitter?
Oh, Guerrilla Media.
That's it, people. That is the classic one. I follow it. You should also.
All right. Well, thanks, Darren. And we'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You can call in too. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. You can also join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Back in a minute.
Never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable, and professional. Do you read me? Am I legible? It's time to get down to the question of eventually, will the corruption in the government lead to the collapse of us? Lead to the collapse of us. Lead to the collapse of us.
Back.
Lead to the collapse of us.
Yo!
Right and left are symmetrical on the puppet master's tentacles. The two sides are identical. The troops are not ejectable.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the fabulous American Freedom Radio Network. And you know what's interesting? America is such a huge place. And yet, every single time I hear a broadcast coming from an American news show or anything like that, they say, good evening, America. Good morning, America. Well, do you hear that, America? It's like, hold on a second here. How can you address such a diverse people? I don't think you really can. And I was just thinking about this. If you want to broadcast to a broad audience, you basically... how can you do it? How can you appeal to everyone? This is what everybody's been trying to figure out, you know. How can we get everybody to swallow what we're feeding them? Okay, if I'm feeding them good stuff or whatever, like even when you're spoon feeding a baby and you're trying to get some primary nutrition into them, that kind of thing. An intellectual format of that would be my ideal media. Spoon feed it, make sure that it's good and healthy for them and all natural truth and what have you. The world does not work that way, unfortunately. So when you're trying to address a group of people, what you're really doing is you're belittling all the individuals, because groups don't fracking exist. Okay, if you don't believe me, try and touch a group of people. Okay, you can't touch a group of people. You can touch a person. You know, it's just a as J. Edward Griffin says, just an abstraction. It's not really there. The only thing that really exists is the individual. So whenever you're addressing people as the group of people or anything of that nature, it kind of sounds disingenuous to me. Either that or they may not quite comprehend who they're talking to, because I'm of the open opinion that I have no idea what I'm talking about or who I'm talking to, and I have no credibility. Like, that's my baseline premise. However, just because I think that doesn't mean it's 100% true. A lot of people lie to themselves. A lot of people lie to themselves and say that they're crap, and then they start to believe it, and then they become crap. Me, on the other hand, I realize that I'm pretty awesome, you know, and I go out and I do pretty fun stuff and blare on with the megaphones, and I entertain a lot of people. You know, I bring truth to the airwaves, etc. I do lots of really great stuff, but I'm just living in a little place underneath another place that's cold and struggling to find money to you know, pay the bills and keep myself out of debt and head above water, just like everybody else. So I know what it's like to at least be on that side of the fence, even though I might be broadcasting on American Freedom Radio and other networks around the world. I'm still in the same boat as the bulk of people who listen to me. Not really that well off, because life is hard. The world has been made very hard. However, just because stuff is hard doesn't mean you can't make it better. Anybody who says that you can't change the status quo obviously hasn't lived for more than 15 minutes, because change is the only constant in the universe, and no status quo lasts forever, does it? That's the period of time being now. That's when you can act. You don't have a choice before the fact, and you don't have a choice after the fact. You only got a choice about right now, what exactly am I doing? Okay. Am I listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show? If you're listening to this, the answer is yes. Good on you. This could be a valuable use of your time. You might learn something. You might not. If you don't learn something, then maybe you are wasting your time and you should be listening to something else. Because this is not a good use of your time if you're here to get your jollies and kicks and things of that nature only. I mean, you want to be prepared to learn something. You want to be prepared to do something on occasion. You want to be prepared to donate something. You want to be prepared to suggest a guest or something like that. I want to encourage people to participate with the show, because all of the guests, pretty much, that we have on the show have been suggestions from the listeners. Really? And I have no idea who these people are the bulk of the time. They'll come on, I know their name, or in some cases I don't even know that. And I've just scheduled them at some point and then forgotten about it, and then on the day that they turn up, then I find out who they are. That's why I start every show with, tell us a little bit about who you are, and what it is you do, because I honestly don't know. Okay, that's why I do so much work, is because a lot of people will spend huge amounts of time preparing and then huge amounts of time in post-production. I spend no time preparing and minimal time in post-production. So I produce about 2 hours of content on YouTube and several websites in audio format per day with the help of American Freedom Radio, of course, and a couple of other programs, etc. So think about that. You can produce huge amounts of content if you're just doing it daily. And I've been doing this for 2 years. And you add on to that the 2 years previous, where I'd been doing lots of videos and other radio shows and things of that nature. There is a huge list of people that I've interviewed, people who are like lead research economists for the World Bank, former FBI investigators, CIA analysts, stockbrokers on Wall Street, authors, filmmakers. You know, the whole kit and caboodle. Any name with any credibility or any influence in the world, or at least somebody who has something important to say that we could all learn something off, mate, that's what we want on the show. And invariably, it's all the listeners who wind up producing all of these people. In a way, I get introduced to people because of the show. Because of the people that hear what I'm saying. So think about you in your own life, how much influence you have with the words of your own voice, and imagine them being just as important as anybody on radio. They're all people too. They all put their pants on at one leg at a time, just like everybody else. I think that we need to recognize that there ain't really much of a difference between one person or another. Some person may have accomplished great deeds and has a big reputation or anything like that. But I think everybody should be kind of judged in the moment to a degree, because how you treat anybody is how you treat everybody. And I try, at least I really do try, to be as nice as possible to everybody, except in the case of some media impresarios who have no gall, no guts, no brains, and no capacity to report the truth, even if it was teleprompted to them. Those kind of people I've got no time for, but in general I feel bad about it too anyway. So it's a real struggle to try and be positive in a negative man's world. Have you noticed that? That's the difficulty that we all struggle with every day. This world was not built for people like us who just want to have a good time and have some fun and hang out with our family and friends and that kind of stuff and buy products that actually lasted a decent period of time. But maybe, perhaps we would like to be able to afford a beach house or something like that. Or we could actually go traveling in our cars that don't require refueling by some oil cartel and everything. Maybe we wanted to just build a house or something of that nature and make sure that it's reasonably safe without having to pay the council several hundred thousand dollars and taking several years in order to give us the permits to do it. Maybe we actually wanted to live some kind of a free existence once at a point without huge, copious quantities of bureaucracies entangling every single limb of our body like a spider's web, wrapping us up, injecting us with a liquefaction, acidic, viral weaponry system of full of the contaminated strain of scumbaggery, iglonitis strain, or whatever the hell, and basically extracting and slurping up every bit of freedom, every bit of free speech, and every single thing that we even care about whatsoever. That's what the government and the corporations are doing together. People think that the government versus the corporations. It's not. They're working together. That's why you lose everything, because you're alone in all of this. You're the only one who actually feels something. Don't you understand? It is time for a real change. If you want a real change, you've got to listen to real media. Because the mainstream media don't know nothing. They probably never will. We'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 218 18-35-25-218-18-35-25-218-18-35-25. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. About it, man. I love, well, actually I hate, but you gotta love the stuff you hate. I love how everybody has to get a job. Okay, that's what everybody has to do, is derive some kind of income, some kind of purpose, some kind of a means of subsistence. And invariably, what people do, especially if they are dependent on the government for some description of benefit and handout and things of that nature, they do a thing known as job hunting, where you more or less essentially sit there for hours every day in a government office looking online or in newspapers or something like that for work. Hours every day. Just think about how much work you could do if you weren't looking for so much work. The whole system's designed to be counterproductive, in my own opinion. And I'm not 100% sure at what point the general wealth of the population would have to get to before you really wouldn't need government handouts for people anymore. And there's an argument by some people, at least, that we don't even need them now. But I'm not sure about that entirely, because there is a lot of dependent people out there, because essentially the system's worked itself into a wee kind of feeding frenzy on people's liberties, people's property, people's money, that sort of thing. It's sort of been devoured, shall we say, by the bankster elite, by design, of course. You know, very little happens in this country or any other by accident. And my deep concern is that people have no understanding of the importance of money. The importance of money is overarching because, well, in an average person's life, how do you get from A to B? You know, do you have to get to your job or something? How did you get to that job? Car, bus, bicycle, anything like that. How did you get that car, bus ticket, or bicycle? You bought it, didn't you? What did you buy it with? Did you trade it for some mushrooms you picked? No, you didn't. You bought it with cash, didn't you? Yes. It affects everything. Whether you're going somewhere, coming to, or staying at home, even just with the lights on, money is still being extracted out of you. It's kind of like in the Matrix. You know how they're in this kind of little bubble of gel, and they've got all these cords in their ears and all over the place, right? Throughout their entire body, in every single barb of the spine, in every single muscle group or what have you. And they're sitting there in this little bubble, and what all this stuff is doing is it's stimulating them, right? And I think that the monetary system is not entirely different to that, except instead of your life force there being sustained and stimulated by all these things in your life to be, I don't know, be thought of as a real experience, something pleasurable, etc., instead, it's a distraction from being a slave. That's the whole idea of it, just to distract you from being a slave while you've got some freedoms left, according to your own illogical beliefs. Because if anybody thinks that they've actually got any freedoms, like really, that you think any of them are really granted to you and that you don't have to fight for them or defend them or anything like that, you're just not in touch with reality. In my opinion, that's the plain truth of it. You have to fight constantly. And that's what tires activists out, because the enemy doesn't sleep. They keep attacking us and attacking us. And by us, I mean everybody. Everybody in the whole world is under attack by these agents of slime. Scumbaggery, New World Order agents, their economic hitmen that come in. You know, there's just so much grotesque skullduggery and scumbaggery being perpetrated upon every one of us at every single point in our life. You know, when you're born, what happens? Oh, well, you get a birth certificate that turns you into a bit of livestock. Ah, and you're owned by the government. And also, how did you get there? Did your parents get married beforehand? Oh, well, did they sign a marriage document? Oh, good. That means that the government now has jurisdiction over their children, henceforth over the parents. And so the family court will be able to come and take your children and then pass them around like a bag of Oreos to all the doctors and lawyers and nurses and psychiatric workers that they want around their little ring of pedophiles that operate in virtually every single major center in the country and everybody else's. From birth, they gotcha. Cradle to the grave, they say. And one does lead to the other, they want. And I don't think that that's a good idea. Now, in terms of life, what do you want to live like? I actually think that this society is pretty cool in terms of the stuff that we can do, some of the technology we've got access to, etc. I think it could be cooler if we had some much better gear and gadgets. Like, I think if there was teleportation technology, man, and they're using it at some underground military base, well, they probably are, whatever. If they had all of that stuff, wouldn't it be choice if we had access to it as well? Like, if I could, instead of having to drive 40 minutes to go see my mate, I could just be there in a second, you know? Everybody be like, oh, but how about the receiving pad and how would you do all that? It was just like, we'll work out the details at some other point, man. I just got the idea to do something and I think it would be cool to do it. You know, don't crap on my dream, homeboy. The scariest part about society is the fact that it contracts your mind. Really does. And these people ask me, literally, why do you care about stuff? Why do you care about stuff? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And by that, he actually meant about conspiracy theories and globalism and stuff that kind of is going on in the world, right? And it's like, dude, what are you talking about? Okay, because it affects everything. Right, we're outside a bar, and he's smoking a cigarette. And I say, okay, who made those cigarettes? British and American Tobacco. Okay, you're part of the conspiracy here as well, just as much as everybody else. Everything we're basically clad and clothed in is either not made here under some kind of globalist auspices, or it is made here in this country by decent people who are currently under threat by globalist auspices. That's what's going on here at all times. Constant threat. And you know what's funny about constant threat is that's what the media tries to put on you. That's what they try to tell you so that you'll be afraid all the time, isn't it? So, think logically. How do you deal with constant threat without thinking that you're under threat all the time and hence stressing yourself out and making yourself ill with worry? Well, you've got to shed your fear of this stuff that's going wrong. Sure, it's all going wrong. But just because the world is run by a group of ruthless criminal Nazi sociopathic pedophile Satan worshipping child sacrificing demon worshipping possession channel balut egg crunching nachos dipping alcohol snorting up the nose with the cocaine-y silly strawing pornography porn star loving bohemian groving scumbaggery filth doesn't mean you can't have a good time. Right, they may be in charge of everything out there, but you're supposed to be the one in charge of everything in here, in your mind. Okay? I reckon that's why they call it a mind, because it's mine, you know? Or maybe, I could be wrong. Conceivably, if your mind was strong enough, you could break apart reality as you saw it, reshape it as you see fit. Just like Neo could in The Matrix. This is what some people actually believe. Okay? Like, some people who believe in a transcendent, a phase shift of humans and all of that sort of stuff. It comes to the point where, look, you can believe in whatever you want, but it depends upon whether or not you're going to act on it. Like, am I going to have so much faith in my divine shifting essence plasma flotilla into the universe or whatever the hell is going to happen to my genetic codes spliced with Fukushima radiation. If that's all going to happen to me, am I going to bank on it? You know, am I going to sell all my stuff and, make my peace with God and say goodbye to everybody and then just go to like this big, hill in the middle of frickin' nowhere where I had to get everything and then give all the last of my money to charity and basically be left with nothing if I'm wrong? No. No way, man. But a lot of people are actually doing that. Now, isn't it funny how somebody who believes in something that may or may not be true, they can still act on them, right? That's why other people's beliefs can actually affect you. They really can. If some sort of crazed Christian fundamentalist that you see in the movies getting demonized or whatever is strapped with some suicide vest, do you think that anybody else around that person who doesn't believe in God is less affected by that one person who does and irrevocably is going to blow the hell out of all of them? Do you think it makes any difference? No, it doesn't. Just because the elite believe in all this stuff, like Satanism, worshipping and what have you, doesn't mean that it's real, but it does mean that they are acting like it is and they can still affect you with the things that they do. And what I feel is happening is people have got a real short attention span, real short attention span, man. It takes a long time to actually explain something, and if you don't come to the point within, it's seconds. Seriously, if you don't make a point in seconds within a sentence or two, then people switch off. The idea is to make a point every 2 seconds in order to hold somebody's attention. That's insane. That's like the news. Tonight at such and such a time, okay, there's a fact in 2 seconds. There was a bombing in Syria. There's another 2 seconds. 14 people were killed. There was another 2 seconds. And Kofi Annan is going to deploy some troops there and go, oh, you lost them. it's just getting to that point now. People are so hyped up on sugars and additives and bad air in their homes and goodness knows what other influences as well. It just smacks to me like they don't matter, okay? Like the people who don't have an attention span, the people who are unwilling to learn or listen or wish to argue with you or anything like that, inevitably they don't actually matter in general. It's not like I'd say they don't matter, ergo kill them and stuff like that. I'm saying they don't matter, so don't spend your time as if they do. Don't spend your time as if they were worth your time, because you don't owe them anything. They didn't donate any of their time to you. You have no obligation. Walk the frack away. Stop talking to and associating with people who don't get it. I know so many people who have friends who have short attention spans, don't believe in any of this truth or anything like that. And I tell them, bro, why the heck are you still hanging out with these people? Who's like, oh, well, they've been my friends since high school or whatever. Motherfracker, high school is over, okay? And good riddance. You knew them from when you were back in trauma-based mind control together? You know, it's like, oh, I'm just going to go hang out with my old MK Ultra mates. We were in a mind control institution together. That does not make a friend. Friends go out on a limb for each other. Friends are there when you need them. Friends answer the phone at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're blind drunk and need a couch to sleep on because your missus kicked you out. That's what a friend does. And I have done that for one of my mates, mind you. See, friends are there for you when you're in your worst state, man. When you're they've seen you at your absolute worst, and they've also seen you at your absolute best, and they're still there. The problem is, some people, they think that friends are just people that only show up when it's time to party or drink or something of that nature. Nah, they're just drinking buddies, bro, and you need to treat them at that. Kind of like the same difference between a drug dealer and a friend who sells you drugs, okay? Drug dealer is just a person at a shop, basically. A friend of yours or something who's hooking you up, that's different because you're not just going round there to purchase something off them like you would a bottle off a liquor store. You have a relationship, etc. Sure, you could forge a relationship with the guy at the liquor store, but ultimately, if he wasn't running that liquor store, you probably wouldn't be hanging out with him, would you? Okay, because he ain't actually there for you. You don't hang out afterwards. Workmates don't count either, okay? Because imagine you lost your job and you never actually saw that person daily at your workplace and you didn't actually have to be together or anything like that. You would soon fall out of touch. There's so much empty relationships out there. And I'm just going to remind people, man, you've got to make some really tough calls in your life. You've got to figure out what kind of people you want to associate with. People that are better than you, who can teach you something. Not the people who are just the same as you, who can't teach you nothing. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. And we'll be right back after this wee break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
I got some so-called friends, smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on? I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Goes boom, boom, boom. It's a Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on the fabulous American Freedom Radio Network with AM FM stations all across America and all over the world. And we have hosts from Canada and America and New Zealand and guests from all over the world and stuff on this network. You know, it's really, really good, and it is getting out there. It's in the top, I don't know, I thought it was like 50,000 websites in the US or the world or something like that. Anyway, AmericanFreedomRadio.com Seriously, if you're just listening to the show on the radio or something of that nature, or on the archives, check out AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Okay? So go to your browser, www.AmericanFreedomRadio.com. They need a heck of a lot of support. They need sponsorship. They need donations. They need volunteers. They need. But the problem is, if you just show up and you ask them what they need, what you're doing is you're not actually helping them. You're creating more work for them because they've got to figure out something that they can trust you with. Whereas I find what you do is you just go away and you do whatever, and then you give it to them, okay? Because that way they can do what they want with it. That's what I feel needs to be done a hell of a lot more often with people. You mean a little bit of charity goes a heck of a long, long way. It really does. Because there's so much work that needs been done in this movement, and there's so many scumbags out there trying to sideswipe all of us that virtually none of us can get ahead in a lot of cases. And in New Zealand, the situation is so dire right now. The media saturation with BS is akin to everybody else's great propagandizing figures coming out, prostrating, puppeting, and purporting that we're in big trouble, and in order to get out of this big trouble, we need to sign away all of our sovereignty and all of our assets and get us ruthlessly into debt and take away all our rights. And come on, it's the same old game, isn't it? Same freaking game every single freaking time. Slavery's getting old, man. Am I the only one who thinks that I'm like this? Like, it's just getting old. It's getting old, man. I'm very, very tired of sitting around being a slave. It's like I'm free to certain degrees, but I still know that my country ain't free, that my people ain't free. And if unless everybody's free, I ain't free, really. Am I? I want a world united, but I don't want a world controlled. Think about it. You know what's good about having your own independence and being able to make your own decisions? It means you can actually do what makes you happy. It means you're not prone to doing the things that you feel that you're just obligated to do regardless. I hate it when people do that to you, where they just force stuff on you without your consent. It's like making travel plans or something like that. Like, hey, bro, I just booked you a trip to the Bay of Islands or something like that on friggin' September 11th or whatever. It's like, dude, I had to be in Auckland for a protest or whatever. Come on, consult with people first. But it doesn't happen. Conceivably, worst thing that's happening in New Zealand right now is John Key. John Key, that friggin' scumbag. How dare he? The monstrous, palpable, and obscene scumbaggery that has been exuded from every single pore of the snake oil salesman, Sasquatch sucking son of a unwed mother. He's a dangerous person. He's a hitman, economic frickin' hitman. Just, you know, straight out of the books. He's come here to blum and destroy the country, and he's in control, and everybody loves him so much. People vote for him in enough numbers, even though he'd never even... Everything he said, not just most things, but everything he said he would do to my, you know, vast followings of this guy, he's lied about and hasn't delivered. And people just go, oh, well, circumstances changed and things of that nature. But nothing. Not every single circumstance changed. How could he renege on everything he said? Okay? Is oxygen no longer necessary for life? That circumstance remained the same. Then why do we need $400 million of debt per week? Here's what you need $400 million in debt per week for. Getting the huge, succulent pork fat of the world beholden to you. That's why it gets people in enormous amounts of debt, because then you can just seize their assets. Why do you think that when New Zealand's assets are being sold, everybody's being ignored? It's because the people who are selling them have got a freaking economic gun to their heads. The bankers want everything. Everybody says, oh, New Zealand's too small, or my town in the middle of South Dakota's too small for Agenda 21 or anything like that. Don't you get it? Three words, New World Order. Name me a place that is exempt from that definition. A location that is not within the world. What are you going to do, mate? Escape to the space station or something like that? Not going to happen. They're going to control everything unless you push back. And the fact of the matter is that you don't have a choice. Okay? A lot of people will weigh up the alternatives, okay? What's the alternative to fighting back and trying to save humanity? Well, the alternative is you will gradually lose all your rights, freedoms, all your money, all your personal security, all your privacy, and then you're going to wind up getting exterminated at some point. That's the alternative. And you have to quit your job. You have to ditch a whole lot of your friends, and you have to make new ones. You have to start your whole life again. That's what this means. The whole world's been a lie, and so has your life. Your previous experience and everything that you've ever done throughout your entire life means different things now. And in a lot of cases, a lot of the things that you used to do don't mean anything to you now, if you hadn't learned from those experiences and incorporated them into your personality, at least. It's a dangerous, dangerous world, and we're all victims of it, but we've got to stop playing the victim card and start fighting back. I'm sick to death of people complaining about stuff all the time, telling me things I already know that are wrong, that they already know that they're wrong. Okay, and not actually doing anything about it. Now, talking about it in and of itself, just talking about things is actually a very, very good step. Because if you're communicating with the right people, those things can take root, and then you can experience new things, etc. Fabulous. On the other hand, though, there's so many people out there who just take it the wrong way, who have a lot invested in their current worldview, and as soon as you start telling them that everything is a lie, they have no fracking clue what you're talking about. What are you saying? That gas is going to run out. What are you saying? That the world's going to heat up. Oh, you're just a fearmonger. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, I'm not trying to make you afraid or anything. I'm just trying to let you know that there's a lot of stuff that is very concerning, okay? If you're walking close to a cliff and I tell you, bro, watch out for the edge of the cliff, there's some loose stones and stuff like that, you can easily slip off and tumble down the gorge, break all four of your limbs off like matchsticks, okay? And then I'll get accused of fear-mongering. Dude, look. Just look with your eyes. All you have—that's not what I'm not asking you to just listen to me and accept everything that I'm saying. I'm just saying, take a look at it for yourself. If you don't believe it, okay. If you don't believe something, look into it. That's what you're supposed to do. A lot of people just—if they don't believe something, they don't look into it because they think it's not worth their time. They don't have any imagination. It's beyond them. It's kind of like Columbus when he was visiting the Bahama Islands or whatever it was, I forget. Some kind of shaman dude on the islands had to actually teach people how to see the ships because they had no concept of what a ship with sails and everything was. They literally could not see it, even though it was right there in front of them. And I think that's what is happening to so many of us people, man, is that we can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we've been scrubbed clean of so many things that used to be good for us and are just no longer there. I remember people used to have road trips on the weekends and stuff like that. People don't do that anymore, man. Gas too expensive. Remember, people used to have the heaters on all night, so that when they wake up in the morning or go to sleep at night, they're not too cold, and people were a lot less sick. No, can't do that anymore. Power price has gone up. Remember, people used to have several cars and stuff like that, and were able to pay their warrants and regos pretty easily. Can't do anything like that. They've doubled in price, and so is the insurance. In fact, the insurance has tripled in price. All of those things that we once enjoyed, all that abundance, is being deliberately taken away from us in a systematic fashion. You will have nothing left unless you recognize this. That's why being in this world is so difficult. It's because you do have to fight for stuff. It's not like you can or you can't. You have to. You don't, like I say, you don't have a choice. Get up off your ass and do something. Participate. It's not that hard. There are many ways to participate. So much as starting a blog or saying stuff on other mainstream media things and detracting them, debunking their news, all that sort of stuff. It all counts. It all matters. And it is having a cumulative effect. They have to pay people huge amounts of money in order to do what we do for nothing. It's not a fair fight. This is true. But it's unfair for them, because they only have a small number of people's interests at heart. Whereas when you're talking about American Freedom Radio and a lot of the topics that get discussed on the airwaves on this network, you're talking about things that literally interest everybody, should interest everybody, and do have great ramifications if listened to. This is the sort of future, this is the sort of media we should all expect. And the longer we sit around giving the mainstream media claps for only finally admitting things that we've known 5-6 years ago, like the link between vaccines and autism. Oh, he's been discredited. No, he wasn't. He was vindicated, you scumbags. He lied to us for years. He barely even apologized, and virtually nobody even hears that he was vindicated at all. You know? Frack them. We don't need them anymore. A lot of people used to like work for mainstream media, and they're like, oh man, we need to like take over their facilities, etc., and broadcast the truth. And it's like, dude, you'd be broadcasting the truth for like, what, a couple of hours at best, like on V for Vendetta styles. Do you have any idea how much huge quantities of repetitive brainwashing and people's own plain ignorance that you need to wax through in order to get messages through to people? It requires immense amounts of repetition over long periods of time before people get even the most basic concepts ingrained. It takes a long time to remember that money doesn't exist and that it's based on criminal scumbaggery. Okay? Wake up! You can't use the old system to turn it over. You can use some of the systems that it's built as weapons against it, but no one thing is going to work in its entirety. Everybody fights in their own way and attacks the New World Order from their own direction. That's what I think. Everybody should start believing in themselves, getting out there, being independent, and if you can't be independent, if you can't think of something to do, then find the people who've already figured out something to do that you can gravitate towards and give them a hand, bro. But don't ally yourself to them. Don't put them up on a pedestal. Just think of them as like a work colleague or something like that. You're both just sitting here, you know, messing with the New World Order, kind of like military buddies or whatever. They make good friends and stuff like that, and you'd take a bullet for each other, but at the end of the day, you probably wouldn't meet and maybe you might not even hang out otherwise. But at this point in time, mate, we've got something to lose. Both of us. And unless we stand back to back, shoulder to shoulder, we're all going to hang separate. This is what it's about. Life and fracking death. It has to be taken seriously sometimes. Because if you try to levitate up everything, levitate, yeah, then, mate, you lose sight of just what you're really fighting for. Future of mankind as a whole. want any kids to be living up and actually knowing anything about science or real objective truth. It ain't going to happen with the new Agenda 21 school systems. You save the future, save the present, save the past and everything like that, because these scum are going to destroy all of it so that they can maintain control of it forever. I don't think so, baby. We'll be right back. VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I also want to recommend people to subscribe if you can. Go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and click on the subscribe button there. The basic idea is here, if I've got a base income to work from, I don't have to worry about the bills being paid or paying for gas or parking when I go to protests or something like that. And so I'll actually be able to do a heck of a lot more work if I don't have to worry about where my next meal's coming from, more to the point. And because I support everybody, all right, pretty much. It doesn't matter what the protest is about or the activists or anything like that. It all involves New World Order scumbaggery at some point. So we either A, bring them on the show and put them on YouTube and archives and blogs and all of that kind of stuff. And giving people a platform is a very important job. And I do take it very seriously, contrary to popular belief, that you've got to actually let everybody have a say, even the people you disagree with and even the people that you've heard bad things about and all of that kind of stuff. Everybody's got their own side of the story or anything like that. There's not two sides of a debate. If a debate exists, it means that there's multiple viewpoints and both sides of the debate are usually wrong. So listen to everybody, and everything should be fine. So that's why I go out, and I'm trying to, you know, get the opinions of a whole bunch of different people whenever I see them, in order to get their take on what is going on. So if you know what the heck is happening from everybody's perspective, then it gives you a heck of a lot more ammunition with your own thought processes, with your own actions. Okay. And I've got the capacity to upload videos of any length, of any size, because I've got unlimited YouTube account and unlimited broadband here as well for only $60 a month. But I need money to just continue to pay the hosting charges. They're like $30 a month. And I'm also in need of probably a bit more equipment and things of that nature. Like I want to get a stand or a background, you know, display banners, things of that nature, so that when I'm going out to public meetings, as I have been doing for the last couple of years, to film everybody who's speaking, to have a couple of different microphones. Like I want a directional shot mic so that if somebody's far away, I can point the microphone at them and pick up their audio crystal clear. I also want a bigger camera as well. You know, the last one that I had was beautiful, but I dropped it one night and I haven't been able to afford to get it fixed, basically. You know how cameras are. It costs like $900 to fix them or $1,000 to buy a new one. So, yeah, I need new camera equipment there. There's also some repairs that might need to be happening with the car as well. It'd be nice to have a van, you know, because there's so many times where you want to you've got so much stuff to transport. You know, I've now got all these banners and poles and things of that nature that have been donated, and lighting gear now, and computers, and all sorts of that stuff. It's basically all coming in to produce a very professional thing. And now I've got people asking on Facebook if they can help me when I'm out at protests and things like that. And if you go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, a good man from Hamilton came all the way up for the Aotearoa Is Not For Sale protest, and he manned the camera, he drove my car, he got to say a few things through the megaphone as well. and you just get to basically see how I operate at a protest, having some hilarious stuff to say, and telling people some of the really gory details and facts about John Key and all the rest of this, the nature of the World Bank and scumbaggery in relation to all of that stuff, okay? I'm getting out there and I'm doing what there should be somebody doing this. And it turns out that that person's me. For frack's sake, it's me. And now I have the responsibility to, and I can't shirk it. I tried to take 2 weeks off. I couldn't take any more than really an entire week off. Or I couldn't even take more than a couple of days off without the phone ringing from somebody or anything like that. And I'm in the middle of all of this. And I can't escape now. So whoever's responsibility it was before, I recognize that it is now my responsibility. I have to do all of this. I have to do this radio show. I have to go out to the protests and film them. I have to use the equipment that has been donated to me to make more and more and more content and media for people to listen to, for people to share with their friends and family and things of that nature. There's a lot of people that are subscribed right now who are giving $5 a month, $10 a month, a couple of people giving $20 a month, one's giving $35 a month. You know, it's basically whatever you can spare. Like, if you got basically nothing, if you got $2 in your pocket, people have done that before. You know, here's my last $2, Finny, or whatever, because I'm doing the job that nobody else is doing, okay? And I don't have an employer in the conventional sense. As far as I'm concerned, the nature of my position is that the people are my employer, and they are my source of income as well. They are my source of equipment, because I can't manifest any of this out of thin air. Everything that I have here, from the professional printed banners to the 100-watt megaphone that's on a tripod with a wireless microphone, to the big standing lights and LED panels and shoulder camera mounts and a HD Kodak camera, the 29-inch iMac, the Yeti professional condenser studio microphone, all of this was given to me, all of it, by the people. And by goodness, do I make good use of it. When people give me opportunities, I don't waste them. Having a new gadget, on the other hand, to use, you know, you're just itching to go and use it, aren't you? And the more tools that you have, the more things you can construct. Ultimately, what my main goal is, I need a new mixer, or an old mixer, it doesn't matter which mixer it is, something that can plug into the computer through a USB port, and something that I can plug in multiple microphones, multiple headsets, and things of that nature, because I now have two microphones and I have three sets of headsets, but I just don't have a mixer so that they can plug all into the computer and work at the same time. Right, I want to be able to do studio quality interviews in here, record people with the HD quality camera at the same time as recording them with high quality condenser microphones. Professional radio interviews that are uploaded to YouTube that day in full quality. That is what I want to be able to do daily. There are 2 hours of the Vinny Eastwood show every day. I want to be able to do at least maybe three or four or three to 5 minute segments with the activists around New Zealand and around the world, breaking down particular articles of the day, as we were doing before with Mr. News Counterspin. There's so much to do, because let's face facts here. There ain't a media that supports or represents any of us that is currently in existence today, that everybody has access to. Okay, there's many shows that are really big, but not everybody is able to get anybody on there. Not everybody is able to just walk right into their studios and get filmed or anything like that. Not everybody gets their stuff filmed and then put straight on to YouTube. I want to give access to the same stuff that people have given me to the people who deserve it more, in my opinion. The activists are the people who actually go to these boring public meetings, listening to these scumbags drone on and on about crap, who are taking notes, going back and reading these small cross-sections of irrelevant miscommunicated passwords and things of that nature, okay, they've done a hell of a lot of work. By comparison, simply showing up, setting up some lighting and a tripod, filming them, and then coming home, downloading it, turning it into a video, and then uploading it, it's not actually that hard, because it's just kind of like a technical thing, you know? You show up, you're there, you do it, you come home, you set it, you forget it, and it's uploading. It's not that hard a job, but the problem is it takes the motivation to actually want to go out there and be there and do it and actually care about the issues enough to want to do it. The activists are there to do it, are the ones who care, who are there, who are doing all the research and giving out all the important information, and I'm only there to make sure that people know about it. Because if you say something in a room full of scumbags that connotes an aversion to scumbaggery, does anybody really hear it? No. Because they're falling upon deaf ears. If somebody films it and doesn't upload it, that also falls upon no ears. Somebody films it and uploads it, then you have increased the effectiveness and the audience of that activist 1,000-fold. 1,000-fold. That is what you can do. More than one person watches a video, and that video will be up there for all time, and that person will now start to appear in Google rankings and things of that nature. Just doing that helps people. That's what I do on a consistent basis, because people need me to. There is nobody like me in this country. And now I need you. I need your support, because I cannot and have never been able to do this alone. And I've been supported the whole way through by generous donations from the listeners, people who are subscribing for between $5 to $20 a month. You can subscribe to it at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, or people who have given equipment. Everything that I do and everything that I can do and everything that I will do in future is due in no small part to all of you people that listen, all of you people that help, all of you people that volunteer, all you people that send me articles and everything that you want. I am simply a conduit here, and I'm trying to do my best, and I need your best in order to continue. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.